Now, I like to ask a question at the start of the show from time to time. And I'm going to ask you a question now, and I want you all to answer it as honestly as you can. What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Now, I mean after you turn off the alarm clock, obviously. What is the first thing you do? Well, according to a survey, and I think this is actually probably a little bit modest, 60% of us, and I reckon it's probably a lot more, the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning is we check our phones. Now, have you noticed that a lot of us who are parents give out constantly to our teenagers and our grown-up children about the amount of time they spend with their heads in their phones? But you know what? I think it's time we all admitted that we're nearly as bad for being on our phones ourselves. You know what it's like. You're standing in a queue at the supermarket till or whatever, and there's 30 seconds to spare. You take out your phone and check your messages. Or maybe there's a long ad break in between something you're watching on the telly. Pick up the phone and have a quick look at what's going on Instagram. We all do it, and I think we're all becoming worse for being addicted to it, if you like. So what can we do? What damage is this doing to our brains? And is there any solution to it? Well, I'm joined on the line by Liam Gilday. Liam is a mental health advocate. He was on the show with us a couple of weeks ago talking about a different matter. But he very kindly agreed to come back and chat to us about another subject that he's quite passionate about. And that is phone addiction and social media addiction. Liam, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much, Deirdre.
What prompted you to get interested in this whole subject originally?
I guess it was around neuroscience and sleep, and I was a chronic insomniac for many years, and I looked at different things, and one of the biggest things for me was phone use. And even to this day, even though I know it's detrimental to my sleep, the apps are just so addictive that I keep falling into the trap. So I know even last night now I was on my phone too late, and I can tell it this morning that I'm just not performing cognitively as good as I should be. And even though I'm aware of the tricks the social media companies play, I'm still falling into the trap. So, it's just evidence of how addictive they are. And like you said there at the top of the show, adults, maybe not quite as bad, but we're on average spending 4 hours a day on our phone. The generation said are up on 6 or 7. So if we're setting the template, we're probably setting it that one.
Yeah. And Liam, like, what would you be looking at that, when you're scrolling through your phone? What social media apps do you find that you're constantly in and out of?
I think WhatsApp is a big one for me. So there's the WhatsApp groups, and Mayo had a bad performance there on Sunday, so the groups were going a bit wild. So it was nearly... it was nearly hard to detach from it, but I guess I like the apps that everyone likes. I like Instagram, and occasionally I do TikTok. I like LinkedIn, and I do a lot of LinkedIn around for my own business promotion. I look at phone addiction like I look at somebody who's an alcoholic. The apps for most people are fine, but it's all in moderation. And why this might sound a bit chilling, but when you'd wake up in the morning, obviously your first hour you shouldn't go near the phone. And the way I would look at it is, if I said to you, okay, the first thing you do when you get up in the morning is if you have a fucking Coke, that would kind of,
set the alarm bells ringing.
But it would, but because it's one of the sneakier addictions, because, in the space of 20 years, it's addicted billions of people, and the addiction is so normalised that we don't see an issue with it. Now, the social media companies, they play their parts with different, I can go through them, but they have different tricks. And basically, the psychologists behind the slot machines in Las Vegas, they're creating the apps,
And just give us an example of how they're getting us addicted to the various platforms.
One of them is the infinite scroll. So the apps that you just keep scrolling.
Yeah.
Keep scrolling down. So there's a science term called the Sigenerik effect, but just the fancy term really for our brain hates unfinished business. So it's effectively a slot machine. You're just your finger is scrolling down the app, but that's you pulling the lever, and it's a very addictive. And you know, these companies know that I suppose dopamine is the anticipation of pleasure. So you know, you put up a post, will you get likes? All these things, you know, we think that you know we're not impacted by. But also, they look at cognitive biases. So cognitive biases are just thinking errors. So our brain likes to take shortcuts. So they like an error called the salience bias. So basically, our brains love something that's new. So, you know, in the same way, you hear a bit of gossip, you need to spread it or you'll feel unwell. It's the same thing with the phones. They're flashy, they're bright. You're standing in the queue. And there's other things, you know, like fear of missing out. And, you know, we'll say that the stories disappear after 24 hours. You mentioned, I'll tell you something interesting about Netflix now, is they're actually producing programs now that they know that people will be scrolling on your phone and watching the TV. So they can't create all brilliant TV shows that you're going to be just focused in. So they're happy enough to create for you to watch the show and scroll on your thing. But, you know, even when Netflix came out, the CEO came out and he said his priority was that they were at war with sleep. And then, yeah.
At war with sleep?
Yeah, that was the biggest competitor.
Good God.
You think about it all, and that's, you know, like when you're running episodes on LinkedIn, or I shouldn't say a dodgeball, but if you're running them on it, and they run into each other, so there's no friction.
Yeah.
So you don't actually have to come out, go back in. It just runs automatically.
Yeah.
So it's the same template. They're so addictive. There are ways around it. There's ways around everything. But, I suppose, first of all, we need to... Look, we're all addicted to phone, you know. Just because I know a bit about it doesn't mean I'm not addicted. I'm still an addict. But I think I try to control it, or, you know, I try and not let it. But I think, like, if you go at the phone within the first hour of the day, you're setting... You know, it's not a great start, you know.
Yeah, and the other side of that, and I'm not trying to justify it, because I'd say I'm addicted as well, but like if you're in, we'll say, a WhatsApp group, let's say you're involved in a GAA club, for example, and then you've a kid in school, so you're on the school's app, and then you've a work WhatsApp group, and then you've an email for personal stuff. And then you're somebody who goes running or walking, so you need to check the weather channel. You know, it's kind of a necessary evil, isn't it? I mean, you literally couldn't get through the day without it, because there's so many things you need it for. That's the problem, though, isn't it?
The only thing I say about that is you kind of listed about 5 or 6 WhatsApp groups. It's an awful amount of information for our brain. So, like, you know, I look at it, the job I do is, you know, what impact it has in the workplace. And, you know, what you're describing there, it's a bit like, you know, if you open your laptop and you go into Google Chrome and you have like 50 open tabs. And what happens then is the laptop really, really slows down. But it's the same impact on your brain. If you have too much going on, so like, you know, there's this thing called constant task switching. So if you're flicking between the WhatsApp groups and work, every time you do a switch, you burn energy. I get your point, but I suppose, could you look at it? Could you do a bit of WhatsApp batching? You know, could you pick 15 minutes in the day and try and get as many posts out as you can, try and knock off the notifications, because if every, you know, okay, so maybe out of them 5 groups, there's one that's a priority, maybe, but you know, with your child or something like that. But I doubt the 5 of them are a priority, because Jesus, if they keep beeping the whole day, you're kind of kidding yourself, because you're moving from work your WhatsApp, that's your work, then you're hopping on Instagram, then you're hopping on Facebook, then you'll have a look at Twitter, and then you'll have a look at LinkedIn. It's an awful amount of information to the brain. You know, like, we have changed, you know, we kind of have changed, but our brains haven't changed, you know?
Yeah, and you mentioned there earlier, Liam, that you were late last night on your phone looking at stuff, and you said you actually feel the effects of it today. Could you describe that?
Oh yeah, I feel slightly hungover. I think people, I felt hungover from the weekend from the Mayo game anyway, but people, it's what becomes your norm, Like, you know, people say to me, I can be on my phone 10 minutes before, but what actually happens is the sleepy chemical melatonin, if you're on your phone too late, it'll delay your sleep about 90 minutes. So I knew, I was an insomniac, generally I'm disciplined enough. And the one thing I would say about it is one thing you could do is don't depend on willpower. And that's what I did wrong now last night. Usually I'd bring the phone down to the hall and I'd charge it down there, but bad decision last night was I left the phone right beside me, and should, with the best willpower in the world, you're going to keep checking. And just the quality of sleep wasn't as good. So yeah, this morning I've ended up probably having, like, most time, like, I don't drink much coffee, but, you know, usually one or two cups of tea would do me. But I'd say today I've already had five. I'm awake now, but what ends up happening then is people end up having a coffee at 3 or 4. So, like, the phone and the sleep, if you could avoid the phone the hour before you went to bed, and the first hour, and, you know, like I said, there's different things you could do. Like, I'm not saying that social media, I'm not saying that we give it up or anything. I'm just saying it's just more mindful, the same way as you know, after you have 3 or 4 pints, you know yourself, if you have another couple, you're not going to feel great. But even small things, like there's a grayscale function on your laptop or on your phone. It's just in the settings, and you put the phone to grey, and that would be one thing I'd start with.
Put the phone to what?
Put the phone on grayscale. So you knock the colour off the phone. So it's just a setting, or you can download an app. And why that works is because our brains are stimulated by the colours. So if you go into all the social media apps, you know, they're very bright. But if you knock it down to grey, you'd be surprised. You pick up the phone, it's just not that as attractive. And it's only a small thing. Now, it will help. It won't eliminate the problem, but it definitely will help, you know. But look at it. It all comes back to dopamine. And whatever drug you take alcohol, you take cocaine, you know, you use your phone too much, it's all dopamine. And in one way, the phone is a little bit more dangerous because, we'll say, if you do go out for those few drinks on Saturday night, we'll say you're out for 4 hours and you come home and that's it until the following weekend. With the phone, it's like a drip. It's just like a drip feed, and it's going all day long. And because it's not hitting you with a real potency, you really, really feel it. You don't actually notice it, but it's ongoing. But it's just kind of the norm. And I would say phone use late at night is just as bad as drinking late at night. You know, it's going to impact your sleep. But look, if your baseline is, and to be honest, most people, you know, you're watching something on Netflix, most of the series aren't great, you pick up your phone, you're bored. It's tricky. Like, I'm not saying, but I'd be looking at things like that. Could you go, I wouldn't go cold turkey, but could you go grayscale first of all for a week? And then even try, you'd be surprised, when I did it first, the 2 hours before I went to bed, and I kept the phone away from me. Like, my phone, actually, I felt poor with it. I felt a bit uneasy because the phone was there.
Sorry, Liam, hold on a second. You cut out there. You were about to say the first time you did it, the first time you stayed away from the phone before bed. What happened?
Yeah, I felt very uneasy. Like, it was like social anxiety.
You missed something.
Yeah, because we all love gossip, don't we? And I was thinking, Jesus, I know the lads there are messaging now in the WhatsApp group, and it nearly killed me not to. But over time, you know, I was thinking, oh, I'll miss this on Instagram and download. Like, what I would do as well is I'd pick your favorite app and just leave it, just leave the one on your phone. Because, like, even on my phone now, I have Instagram, I have Facebook, and I have Twitter. But what I'll do sometimes is, we'll say Monday to Friday, I'd delete Instagram. So at least then, or another thing you could do is put your apps on your tablet. So take the apps off your phone, and then when you come home in the evening, spend your 45 minutes, your hour on your tablet. It's all about your environment. If the apps are there, it's kind of like if you buy in a load of chocolate, you delete it.
Yeah.
Don't buy it in, you know.
That's an analogy I can definitely identify with. Listen, there's so much more I could ask you about, but just one important thing that I should probably say to you before we go. It goes without saying, really, doesn't it, that if your kid or your teenager has a phone, it's absolutely dynamite to let them keep it in the bedroom with them overnight.
Oh, 100%. And if you think about it, when we were in school, like I'm early 40s, when we were in school, I was fortunate, I was never bullied, but I know people were bullied. But at least at 4 o'clock in the evening, the bullying ended. Now with social media, the bullying continues. And I know this from talking to parents, and it's led to huge issues. So I'd be taking phones off them, because 8 o'clock at night, you know, they need the break. And there's also this thing called brain rot, that because there's some teenagers are using the phone for 8 or 9 hours, that actually when they wake up in the morning, they're stuck to the bed, and it's just killing their thinking.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't have to go military and take the phone off them altogether. But like if your teenager is going to bed at 10 p.m., you want to be taking that phone off them at 8:30. And trust me, they won't like you first.
Yeah. But they might get a better night's sleep and be fresher at school the next day.
Yeah, and look, it'll feel more like a reward if you don't have unlimited time on it. You know, if you said to someone, right, you've 20 minutes on that app, you'll make the most of it. And you know, what I actually find is when I delete the apps and I put them back on Friday evening, I'm thinking, Jesus, I didn't miss as much as I thought I would.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, we better let you go, Liam. I could talk to you for a lot longer, because this is a fascinating subject. But you know what? If nothing else, we might have made people think this afternoon about their own phone use, and maybe make a plan to be on it a little less. Liam, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, and we will no doubt speak to you again.
Thanks a million, Deirdre. Take care.
All the best. That's Liam Gilday, their mental health advocate, talking to us about phone addiction. And in case you only come in at the tail end of that conversation, we're not blaming the teenagers, because, as I said earlier, I think we're all guilty as parents of giving out to our children and our teens for their phone use, and then being just as bad ourselves and being incapable of getting through an hour without looking at it. Frightening statistics, really. 60% of us look at our phones within minutes of waking up, and most people spend an average of 3.5 hours to 5 hours every day on their phones. Isn't that just shocking when you think about it? It's absolutely shocking. Let me know about you and your phone use. Are you addicted to it? And of course, I'm going to ask you now to get on your phone and text me with your thoughts on this, ironically, 083 300 3300. We're going to be talking about the banning of certain plastic items when we come back after the ad break and the bingo numbers. Talk about